Hey lovelies, so a little bit of information on the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. This was a challenge started for disabled people, for disabled filmmakers, disabled producers, disabled writers, disabled actors, to all make a film in 5 days' time. It's free to register, anyone can participate. I've been lucky enough to be part of this wonderful program since 2019. And I would highly recommend doing it. It's really fun. The competition is laid back. You meet some amazing people like you're going to hear on this podcast. I would highly recommend being a part of it. Visit disabilityfilmchallenge.com for more information.
Everyone, I'm so excited with all the interaction and the live here today. I'm Erin Noonke. I'm the CEO and founder of Queen Disability LLC. We are an organization that works to educate, advocate, and empower the disabled community through media projects and the official Claiming Disability podcast. And today we have the infamous Nick Novicki. Nick, I've wanted to sit down with you for so long. Oh my gosh, look at all the hearts. Hi, Melanie. Look, we've got Easter Seals folks joining us as we speak. Nick is going to tell us all about the Easter Seals Film Challenge today, all of his wonderful filmography work, including The Sopranos, which you guys all know I'm the biggest Soprano fan that ever exists. And today I have a special guest host. His name is Zachary McCann, and he is the director for the film that we are submitting for the Easter Seals Film Challenge. But we're not going to talk about that today because today is all about Nick. We're going to be talking about the contest and some of the logistics with it since launching on April 5th. So I am just so excited to talk to you, and I'm stoked, and I'm ready. And Zach, if you don't mind, I just kind of want to kick it off with Nick here and just see how he's doing today on this Friday.
Absolutely, I don't mind at all.
Thank you so much. Happy Friday to both of you guys. But it's so great to be here with the two of you, and it's so awesome to see the films that you guys have done for the Easter Disability Film Challenge. You know, you guys are repping Iowa. Am I wrong?
Yes, we are. People are always blown away, at least for me, when I say I'm from Iowa. And that's what I think is so neat about the Easter Seals Film Challenge, is it really gives people the opportunity from all over the world to connect in a big way. I mean, you focus on people with disabilities, the disabled community, and, you know, mixed teams where able-bodied people can participate. I mean, it's just like, and as Zach always says, I don't want to take words out of his mouth, but he's like, it's the most friendly challenge I've ever been involved with. So I've been so excited to sit down and actually have an interview with you because I really want to know, you know, how you're saying this has been over a decade, how this started for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you said, you know, I have been very lucky in that I've been in a lot of TV shows and movies. I was on The Sopranos, so we'll get into that. I'll answer any questions you have about that later. But, you know, I was lucky to get some roles on some really big projects. But I learned early in my career that a lot of the opportunities I was getting as an actor in terms of auditioning was 100% about my size. Now, there were outliers like The Sopranos where, you know, I was just a nightclub manager. And honestly, it wasn't even really written for a little person. And I got that role, you know, so that was kind of cool. It could have been anybody. They never even addressed my height. But being 3'10", I learned that I had to write, produce, create my own content. And that led to a lot of opportunities for me. So in 2013, I was looking around. I was like, why aren't more people with disabilities creating their own content? So I created the Disability Film Challenge. Which started out as actually just a 2-day competition. Now it's 5 days, and you needed somebody with a disability in front of or behind the camera. you make a film and the films don't have to be about disability. And, you know, something else to point out. So we have different categories with the Film Challenge. We have six, the most ever awards that we ever had, six this year. So there's the best film. There's the best director. There's the best editor. There's the best actor. And we have a new category this year, the best writer category. So, you know, last year we had that new best editor. This year we have the new best writer. And we also have a separate category called the awareness campaign. And this, where I got to say, the two of you are just so great at, you know, your marketing skills. So this is an opportunity for you and everybody else that makes a film to market your films and to share them and to try to encourage as many people to watch, like, and share your films during our April 16th to April 25th awareness campaign. So all our films are going to go live on the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge YouTube channel, our Facebook, and our Instagram channels. And you can follow at Disability Film Challenge to find when those films are going to go live on the 16th. But everybody's trying to get likes, views, and shares. And it's all happening at the same time. So you have people from all over the world that are tuning in, and they're so excited to see all this great, authentic disability representation. And then it sort of expanded year after year right away after the first competition. People were like, when can I enter again? You know, and it just kind of grew and grew and snowballed, and more people got involved, and more people started getting jobs. And this is when it was really kind of just tiny. And so, you know, we got bigger mentors. Peter Farley came on as a mentor in 2015. You talked about Steve Way. Steve Way won the Best Actor Award in 2015.
Yeah, we love Steve. Yeah. By the way, guys, I don't know if you saw in my stories, but Steve just got a pilot with Judd Apatow on the Peacock. You know, Easter Seals Film Challenge leads to big opportunities for a lot of disabled actors out here. And I know there's a lot of folks on here who either want to become actors or they want to be involved in various film projects. This is the perfect opportunity for you. I read a Forbes article about the Easter Seals Film Challenge, and it had, you know, people like Nicole Evans featured. And I was just like, whoa, you know, what is this challenge? You know, what is this thing that's bringing all these, you know, disabled actors together? And not only disabled actors. I'm somebody who is a podcast host, and I do acting, but doesn't really consider themselves an actor. I do editing and tech. So not only are you focusing on in front of the camera, you're focusing on behind the scenes, which I really think, you know, as a disabled editor, producer, you know, somebody who does their own graphic design, runs their own media company, this is just the perfect opportunity.
Well, I agree. And if you go to disabilityfilmchallenge.com, disabilityfilmchallenge.com will give you all those steps. You could go to the past challenge tab, and you can see 2015. You can see Steve Way killing it in that performance for his film where he won that best actor. But again, you guys own your own films. That's the coolest thing about it. And Zach, you brought up the point that it's the friendly element of it. It is a competition where you get big prizes. You get $2,000 grants, screenings at film festivals, computers from Dell Technologies, Adobe Creative Cloud, IMDb Pro membership, Film Independent membership. But here's the thing. You own your own film, so you could submit to all these other festivals. And your film screened at the Chinese Theater, you know, part of Holly Shorts. So really, it's a community. It's a community of filmmakers and participants. And I think the disability community in general, we have some pride in each other and sharing and supporting each other's work.
It's actually super cool. Like, the Disability Film Challenge community is such a small world. It's like, this year I get to work with Steve Way and, you know, some of these people I'm just meeting, but they're all doing phenomenal work and it's exciting. And, you know, I've gotten to talk with Andy, and I'm sure we'll work together eventually. And, that's one of the really cool things about the film challenge is that connection.
And I love that, you know, so that's what I'm most proud of. I think that connection that people have. and how they support each other and become friends and start out commenting on Instagram or Facebook. And, you know, and now they're friends and they see each other in an event and they're like, I feel like you're my cousin. We've been talking so much.
Well, and not to brag, but I think we've got some really cool folks on our team this year that I love to know the experience of everybody. And again, when I posted the ad for this live, you know, you just have the entire community just like rallying behind you, actors from Dollface, people from HBO Max, like they know what you're doing and they see you. And again, I feel like you're one of the only people out here that's really championing for us, you know? I mean, I know it's a collaborative effort.
Yes.
Sometimes it always doesn't feel that way, you know?
Well, I got to say that there's so many people doing great work. And like the community has just so many leaders. And, you know, you talked about Grip Camp, you talked about Judy Heumann. You watched that movie. She's done. I mean, I'm just telling jokes. You know? No, we're bringing people in, but there's so many people that have done just such great work in that for years, including the entertainment industry, and many of them are judges. If you go to disabilityfilmchallenge.com, hit the mentors and judges tab. We have some unbelievable mentors. We have some unbelievable judges, and some of those judges with disabilities have really been pioneers for years and years, making sure that we're getting true equity in the industry. So I appreciate so many people in the disability community that empower all of us and that help us collectively make an impact. And I feel so proud of the fact that it's leading to a lot of jobs and it's leading to a lot of opportunities. And it's been something that many people have used as a way to build community and build their profile and use this to become a pipeline that the industry has come in and hired people in front of the camera, use their database of people behind the camera for jobs. Being in this virtual world, it's opened it up more to where it doesn't matter where you are. You're part of this beautiful disability community and you have your own work you can create and you can do what you want to do and do it on your own terms.
And I'll tell you that as an actor, director, writer from Iowa, that's been huge for me because, you know, I studied acting in college and basically through learning that, I learned that there really wasn't at that time a place for me that I felt in theater, on stage or Hollywood. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to teach theater. And then as things went forward, I started the Disability Film Challenge and I saw all these other disabled writer, actors, directors that are doing things and also getting opportunities from the film challenge. And all of a sudden it felt like, wait a second, I could have a career. I could be a filmmaker full time. I can get paid to do this thing. And that is thanks to the Disability Film Challenge. And I owe you a lot for that because otherwise I'd, you know, just be making my own content for YouTube because I love it. But now I'm also making it because I think I can have a career. If I do a really good job on this film, if I do right by the actors that have so graciously decided to play in my film, they might get a role. And B, you know, hopefully one of these days, somebody's going to see my work and go, I want to hire that guy.
And it's happening. You know, it's happening. The coolest thing is, you know, we have all these networks and studios and Fortune 500 companies that sponsor. But they don't just sponsor in the sense that they're committed to helping us. They are there sharing on their channels the films. The Casting Society of Screen Actors Guild. We got Academy Award winning mentors that share the films year after year and share our playlists on YouTube. Watch all this stuff. So, you know, you're getting in front of people that want to see different things. And here's the thing. If you're a budding filmmaker, writer, producer, Hollywood and independent film festivals, they are looking for something different. And that is an authentic voice of disability representation.
Absolutely, Nick. You know, with this year's Oscars, we have Andrea Lamont Consulting, who did so much work in terms of the accessibility and the ASL interpretation for the Oscars. Guys, Hollywood is changing, and I don't think you realize, like, how monumental it is. I hope, as somebody behind the scenes who does closed captioning, who does all of that, you know, maybe that could be me on the red carpet someday with a film team being like, we provided accessibility for these movies, and not only just movies regarding disability content, like CODA just re-released. They're re-releasing in theaters everything with closed captioning for accessibility. But I'm talking about accessibility on a larger scale where we're just making any movie accessible for everyone. And I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that you are instrumental in the Hollywood space in terms of pushing disability representation. Guys, Meet No Vicky was just at the Golden Globes. Do you have any idea how big of a representation that is for us? You know, we all know that the things that can happen in the disabled community with the lack of representation. But honestly, I have to say, Hollywood is really out there trying to incorporate disability representation in an authentic way. And I can say Nick Nowicki is at the forefront of that, because what you've done, I mean, I don't even know that that's ever happened at the Golden Globes, has it, Nick? Like, that's amazing.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you so much. That was truly an honor to be able to be a presenter at this year's Golden Globes. It was truly an honor. And in terms of me making an impact, I want to say there's so many people in the disability community that have worked so hard and that have been allies and done so much work over the years that allowed us to be in the position we're in. And I feel honored to be working alongside so many of those allies and people that have done work for so many years. But to go back to the Golden Globes, I mean, that was crazy. It all happened, you know, within a couple of days. And honestly, it was COVID. COVID really helped, because I was invited, which was such a crazy opportunity to even go and be there. And Hollywood Foreign Press supports the film chart, got a grant. And so we're there, and I got the opportunity to present two Golden Globes at this year's Golden Globe ceremony. One of those Golden Globes went to Will Smith, actually, which was pretty amazing. And to me, it feels like the doors are just wide open. So now is the time to be a creative artist, and no matter where you are, you don't have to be in New York, you don't have to be in London. You could be in Iowa, you could be in Kansas, you could be in Florida, you could be in Europe, you could be in Asia. You make a film, you tell your story the way you want to tell. You showcase yourself the way you want to be showcased. And I'm telling you that film festivals, the award shows, the studios, the networks, they want it. And to quote some of our judges, they always say, look, don't make your film about disability. You know, make it about something else. People will be able to tell your disability. You know, mind you, if you have an invisible disability, that's a creative way for you to be able to kind of share it subtly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think putting ourselves in the box of like, oh, this movie that I make, because it's for the film challenge, has to be a manifesto about my disability, is really limiting. Like, I just want to make great movies. One thing that I love about the themes and concepts and ideas that you guys come up with is that the interpretations are very loose. So like anybody that's seen anything that I've made knows that I take crazy liberties outside of what you would expect. That's part of the fun for me. Is like you pick a superhero film and then I get to go, what can I do? What can I bring to a superhero film that's unique and different, and maybe it'll make people laugh. And that's, I love that. So that's really the way that I kind of go. That's how I approach these things, because, you know, I want to see heroes on screen that happen to have a disability. You know, this guy's a hero, and he's a hero for reasons of his own. And if every movie that includes people with disabilities has to be about disability, that's not really the Hollywood that I want to be a part of anyway. I just want to make fun, crazy characters. That's what I love doing. And it doesn't need to be tied to my disability.
I agree.
I'm a little split on that issue, like the community is. I mean, I'm going to be perfectly frank. I'm a disabled media company. Disability is not a bad word. And, you know, it's okay to identify with disability culture, disability pride, all of those things. But you're definitely representing a group of people that exists. I mean, because I think, you know, when people want to see disability, they just want to see it in a complex, robust way, not the inspiration porn that we're also used to. So, I mean, again, I think, you know, whatever side you're on in terms of film, I've told Zach I'm a movie snob. So when it comes to disability film representation, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I like the 1939 movie Freaks. I think it's an amazing representation of disabled people. But
I love it.
Really? Because that's not a popular opinion, but I'm not a popular person. So I just, you know, I mean, I acknowledge that there's different, because again, like with CODA, there's been articles that have come out. Here's what CODA got right. Here's what we still need to work on. And, you know, for me, that's opening the door to say, okay, let's get more writers. Let's get more disabled producers. Let's get more people advising Marley Matlin and the team. You know, it's just a big opportunity to have a bigger conversation about what disability actually looks like, because we all know disability is split. How we express our disability and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I definitely love, you know, that's why I chose to be on Zach's film team. The disability is nuanced. And for a lot of disabled people, that's how they want to see films represented.
I agree. And I think something else that's important to point out is when you are involved in the creative as somebody with a disability, you are involved of how you're marketing yourself, the way you want to be marketed, the way your team is comfortable being marketed, the talking points, the way that disability is shared. Now, me personally, I think the movie Freak is awesome.
I love it.
Have starring role.
Form of disabled representation.
So, but that's me as a classic film fan. And that's me also talking about a film that was done 100 years ago, almost. You know, I don't know when it was made, but these are starring roles. Now, is it modern day depiction? No. And it was it perfect in every area? No, but no film is. And I think what's interesting is you have characters that are leading, that leading roles for people with disabilities. Now, CODA did unbelievable with that. The film's director and writer, Sean Hader, I mean, she really has been unbelievable about making sure that being authentic and having inclusive, you know, people that are there from the deaf community there to kind of tell the story and to be there and to be at every aspect. It's such an inclusive team. To have that many stars with disabilities, I don't know if that's ever happened in a movie, you know, that got wide release. You know, so I think it's awesome. But again, in terms of, you know, something else that you point out, you know, this competition, the word disability, it started out when I created it almost a decade ago as the Disability Film Challenge. It was important to always have the word disability there, not ability, not other things. I'm proud of
myself. Yes, sir.
I'm proud.
Yes, of, sir.
And you know, it's this is who we are. Okay, and you know, all the ways that you talk, I prefer to call the little person. I prefer, you know, even though I have pseudoachondroplasia dwarfism, I prefer little person. I think, you know, we're collectively buying in. When you're part of the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge, you're saying that you're proud to be part of this community. And how you market your film is up to you. So what you do in your film, you know, you could not talk about disability at all in your film. But while you're marketing it, I would say it's very important to tie in to the disability community and to say the numbers. 1 in 4 Americans has a disability. We're this huge population, which includes all these other people and all the intersectionality that goes in within disability.
Yeah. Well, and I think the word intersectionality is the important word to latch onto there too. Is like, yeah, some of those films are going to be in your face disability representation, and that we need those films. We do.
Yeah.
And then other ones are going to be more subtle. And we need those films too. And I think that disabled movies should be as diverse as the disabled creators creating them. And I think that's what's exciting is I'm going to make a difference. You know, Cinematography in the Corn, Iowa, is going to look fundamentally different than, you know, a filmmaker that's making a movie from East Asia. But that's exciting to me.
My absolute favorite thing to do every year. It's what I look forward to the most. And it's also honestly the most challenging is I get all of these films at the end of the competition on April 10th. We take all these films and then we professionally caption them. We encourage people to do their own captions, you know, but for those that don't, we, you know, add captions to the films and we put them up on our channels. And then the judges have to, you know, review all these films. Luckily, I'm not a judge. So if you're mad about what happens, don't come to me. All right. I'm not the guy. But what's beautiful, and as you just said, is we get so many different interpretations. There's one assignment, but every film is completely different with their take and how they interpret it and where they go with this assignment. And I'll tell you what, I really hope to see so many different locations and see all these different beautiful things that you could bring in. That's things that you have in your house, your family, your culture, your disability. Everything that you have is an advantage. Where you live, what your lived experience is, what your if you speak another language, if you speak ASL and you're deaf, or, you know, if you're a wheelchair user, if you're a little person, this is an advantage. How you choose to use what you have is up to you, you know. And I think whatever you feel comfortable with, and you brought something up that I think is really cool in the sense that the you know, certain films are going to highlight disability more than others, and that's okay, and that's awesome, because I think sometimes even for me as an artist and as a comedian, how I choose to talk about being a little person, you know, is my decision, and really it's a tool set. It's something that I have. I don't want to focus my entire set on being a little person, but I also don't want to shy away from it. It's a part of who I am. My wife's a little person. I'm a little person. It's a part of my culture, who I am. So, you know, stories can involve it. I try to not make it the entire, you know, storyline, because I have other things. I have me being an idiot and forgetting to record TV shows or putting the dishes together. Little things in life, you know, that we have and that are relatable to anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree. And again, I think the community is just split, but I think we're getting closer with coming together. And Zach and I talk about this all the time. There is no such thing as a perfectly crafted movie about disability. Even there were critics with Crip Camp. There were critics with, you know, you can do everything right and you're still going to have critics out there, and that's just the reality of it. But as a teenage girl who grew up watching Glee and then finding out that the person in the wheelchair was not an actual disabled person was heartbreaking to me. So I think, again, this idea of representation, seeing a little person on the Sopranos, like seeing, you know, somebody like you at the Bloody Lunch. I'm not going to lie. I need that representation. I need to see it to know that it's possible. Because I think, you know, what happened with our mutual friend, Jim LeBrec, you know, I was very sad because I think for the first time the community rallied around, you know, Crip Camp, and Jim was Oscar nominated, and we were really hoping, you know, but again, with this CODA win, I think, you know, it opens a conversation of what kind of media can get through, what kind of media, you know, is a little too edgy or whatever. I just think it opens the door for conversation now. So, guys, if we have any questions for Nick, drop them in the chat and we'll answer some questions here really quick. If you have any advice for last minute registrants, what would be your advice? Like, what would you propose to people right now who have listened to this live and they're like, okay, I want to do this. How do I do this? Like, you
know. Just take the step. You know, you're ready. Believe in yourself that you can make a film, you can get it done. And I always say, too, if you've never done something like this, just let it be an amazing experience. Because the worst thing you're going to have is more experience and more footage. Now, with that being said, try to be realistic with what you're going to do. I think sometimes people's scales get too big and they want to film on an aircraft carrier and they want to film for 3 days. This is a 5-day competition. I focus on film one day because the amount of footage that you have to edit all that footage. So do not overshoot. Be simple. Let the story speak for itself. Special effects and all the bells and whistles and all the, you know, crazy costumes and stuff don't necessarily define your film. The film starts with story and what can you tell? What creative way you do what you can with the limitations you have. So try to use what you have, but know that there is a deadline because at the end of the day, at 6, when the challenge closes at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, that's it. So you need to have your film downloadable in your film giveaway account. And we send you all these emails, giving you hints, giving you advice, telling you about the awareness campaign. I'll send you more emails than you're going to want. But I'm there to give you all the factors. But believe in yourself. That's my biggest piece of advice. You're ready to make a film. Use people you have. And don't be afraid to ask your community to post on your social media and say, I need an extra camera person. Anybody want to help me bring food to the set? Maybe your mom does. Maybe your aunt does. You'll be surprised when you put it out there and say what you have and why this is important. Who wants to join you? Who wants to help you? Send an email out to all your contacts. And get ready because next weekend I'm going to need your help when the film goes live. Does anybody know any local press? Does anyone have any great stories that may be interesting to their newspaper, to their school? There's all press out there. And this film challenge and this competition is a great way for you to just tell your story and use this as a way for you to get jobs outside of the camera that this was designed for. So the competition is a way for you to tell your story, to make a film, but it's also a way for you to build your network and for you to just build your community and support each other. You know, watch all these comments. Back said it earlier. Comment. Build your network. Build, it doesn't matter where you're based. You should be meeting and learning these other people with disabilities that are all at different levels in their career. And it doesn't matter where you are in your career because it matters what you're doing right now.
And I'll tell you something. If you live somewhere like Iowa, right, finding collaborators is super easy because no one gets paid to make movies here. And making movies is like the most magical thing to somebody from nowhere, Iowa. So when you say, hey, do you want to be on my crew? They're like, wait, really? I get to help you make this movie? That sounds awesome. So really embrace that. You know, I definitely do. I'm shameless.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a volunteer competition, so no one can get paid.
Absolutely. I'm also ridiculously shameless, as you guys can tell. And how dare you call Iowa nowhere? Okay, so there's people. I'm from Iowa. Zach is from Iowa. Obviously, a majority. Guys, we love Iowa. You know, we're repping Iowa up in here, and I can't. I wish I had time to participate as a disabled motorbike rider. Ooh, that would be a good story to tell the love of your... Exactly, guys. It is a quick turnaround, but I will say this is my third year participating. I'm a complete idiot, and I figured it out somehow. First, I was on Andy's team, then I was on Zach's team. It's about networking. It's about building a resume. If you have an inkling that maybe you want to do some acting, or maybe you want to do some editing, or maybe you want to do some captioning, you know, no job is too small, in my opinion. And so just jump in.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that Erin diminishes her own role in my films every year, you know, but the reality is, you know, I can't direct my film, write the script, direct the actors, edit it, shoot it a lot of times. I have to shoot my own films and make the trains run on time and market the film and do all of these other things. And Erin is such a great producer because she handles those things, and you know, to her maybe it doesn't seem big, but to me it's huge. It allows me to do what I do.
Absolutely.
You are so sweet. And guys, the thing about it is I'm going to be promoting everyone's film, just like Nicto Vicky, just because I'm participating. Again, I participate.
And I'll tell you something. If you live somewhere like Iowa, right, finding collaborators is super easy because no one gets paid to make movies here. And making movies is like the most magical thing to somebody from nowhere, Iowa. So when you say, hey, do you want to be on my crew? They're like, wait, really? I get to help you make this movie? That sounds awesome. So really embrace that, you know. I definitely do. I'm shameless.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a volunteer competition, so no one can get paid.
Absolutely. I'm also ridiculously shameless, as you guys can tell. And I wish I had time to participate as a disabled motorbike rider. Ooh, that would be a good story. To tell the love of your... Exactly, guys. It is a quick turnaround. But I will say, this is my third year participating. I'm a complete idiot. And I figured it out somehow. First, I was on Andy's team. Then I was on Zach's team. It's about networking. It's about building a resume. If you have an inkling that maybe you want to do some acting, or maybe you want to do some editing, or maybe you want to do some captioning, you know, no job is too small, in my opinion. And so just jump in.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that Erin diminishes her own role in my films every year, you know, but the reality is, you know, I can't direct my film, write the script, direct the actors, edit it, shoot it a lot of times. I have to shoot my own films and make the trains run on time and market the film and do all of these other things. And Erin is such a great producer because she handles those things. And you know, to her, maybe it doesn't seem big, but to me, it's huge. It allows me to do what I do.
Absolutely.
Seth, do you have any closing words?
I just want to say thank you to you, not just for the marketing that you're doing for the challenge and my film, but all the work you're doing on my film. And I want to say thanks to Nick for, you know, really giving people like me who want to make movies for a living hope that there is a place for us in Hollywood, and that if we continue to be prolific, if we continue to put our work out there, if we continue to grow as artists, that there is a place for us in the industry. And it's thanks to you that I believe that's true. So thank you so much for this challenge and everything you do.
I mean, you're going to make me cry on a Friday morning. Guys, I love you. Thank you so much, Aaron, Zach, for having me. To all the love from the Film Challenge participants, from the disability community, I can't thank you enough. And you know, they hope to see you all in person.
Yes, thank you so much. Again, guys, happy Friday. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Hey, Disabled Lovelies, so I really hope you enjoyed that amazing interview with Zach and Nick Novicki from the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. I just love Nick. I think he's amazing. I love the fact that he's been in The Sopranos, and his film career has been so extensive, and he's so knowledgeable, and now he's applying that knowledge and helping the disabled community with it. I just think it's amazing. I'd love it if you guys checked out my merch store. I've got some new designs. Teach Disability History and Disability Pride is a Fluid Experience. Check it out if you can. If you can't, keep listening. Thank you so much.